Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, sitting here with Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
I say that with, I'm expecting like angelic choirs to sing a high C. Yeah. Close.
Well, I have a high C that I'm drinking.
Yes. I love this show. I don't get this at home.
And we have Ziggy Stardust here. Ziggy Rodriguez.
I've been on the show now for 5 years. Yes, okay.
All right. So as I look at the two of you, it's really cool because I have like this sort of black crescent shape thing burned into my retina.
I don't know. Ever since that solar eclipse.
I thought I could do it, but you know, apparently 10 seconds of the sun stare is not good. But I did set the family record. But I did see the eclipse, which by the time you guys hear this, it was really a cool experience. One of the things I love about the eclipse,
we saw like 98%.
Yeah, in Memphis it was. Yeah, but I drove 2 hours and then like 47 hours back.
Totality,
and that was kind of cool because we just had to go 2 hours away.
I jetpacked to the moon.
Did you?
Like, yeah, and then I realized I kind of messed it up because you can't really see the eclipse in the same way from the moon.
So really, that wasn't a solar flare we saw, was it?
No, that was my jetpack.
He was taking off. That is definitely cool. One of the things I love about the whole eclipse experience is like there's so many people in such a divisive world. There's so many people that are all sit and they're focused on one thing.
Oh, yeah.
They're all like looking up to the sky.
It's kind of like Pokemon Go brought the world together.
It's probably better, cooler than that. I think it's more like, the Feast of the Ascension, you know, and the angel going, "Men of Galilee, why are you all looking up? Your Lord will return the same way."
Well, in this case, there were a whole lot of people who were, you know, our Protestant brethren have belief in things like the rapture, which is a 19th century idea. And
yes.
There was a lot of stuff being
stirred
up. Chariots
of the gods, baby.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff being stirred up in the time leading up to the eclipse. And now we're in that sort of...
So I have to admit, the weirdest thing I saw driving.
Yeah.
In Arkansas, was a dude that had something that looked, it was akin to a Ford Pinto.
Yeah.
And it was hand painted, like spray painted.
Please tell me they were Arkansas tags.
You know what? I didn't even pay attention.
Or
I was so
busy.
Were
they tags at all?
And it had these metal rods on top of the thing, and there was like, as big as the car, there was like this fiberglass cloud shaped thing that was also painted that way. And on the windows, it said Space Cloud. And there were like four college-age kids in there.
Yeah.
And it's like, I wanted to get in their car. I have to admit. It was a little weird. But all that aside, it was a cool event. Yes. And so we bring ourselves back to the reason we're here, which is to do a show that we've blown like 5 minutes already.
Terrible.
Yeah, well, you know, so it's interesting. And this show idea was, we'll give credit where credit is due.
Thank Ziggy. You.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I'm Tom, sorry.
Ziggy, one of you guys came up with the idea. We've done how many shows about Lent? How many times do we have shows about the season of Lent and entering into this mystical season and this season, this journey? And it's like we talk about that. Homilies are proclaimed about it. Commentaries. All the shows, Catholic podcast, whatever. Everybody's talking about the season of Lent.
Right.
And then we get to Easter. And then it's like we have this big Easter and everyone's all excited. I think everyone's tired, having gone through the Triduum. Mm-hmm. And then we have this octave of Easter,
Every day is a solemnity.
Every single day is a solemnity. And it's just, it's beautiful. And then we're done with that. And then a lot of people go like, well, I guess Easter's over.
Right.
Because the candy is now like 90%, and that's just the things with coconut in it. That's all that's left, right? Nobody wants that. So it's like Easter is over. And that's what a lot of people think. And the reality is we have this 8-day, this octave of Easter, right? And then we have an octave of Sundays. Mm-hmm. It's a bigger view, which is like Lent. And it's actually longer than Lent.
Yeah.
right? And so if we think about how we've often spent time in our Lenten experience trying to get ready and trying to prepare ourselves for Easter, we have Easter, and then we shorten that, our Easter experience, I'll call it.
Yeah.
And I think we're doing ourselves short shrift there. I think we really do need to find ways in which to make the Easter season unique.
Absolutely.
And like, how to view like that, those 8 Sundays in totality, and not forget about that. I mentioned before we started, right before we went on air, I mentioned that I'd heard this homily one time from a priest many years ago, and just stuck with me. And he started, it was literally the end of the Easter season. So it's, you know, we're there celebrating, what is that feast? There's a big feast.
Pentecost.
Pentecost or Ascension.
I'm just joking.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Yes. So we're at Pentecost, right? And he comes up to the ambo and he goes like, "Happy Easter." And everyone looked at him like he had two heads. It just seemed odd. And it's like, you know, he's right.
Yeah.
It is the Easter season. It's so important to us that the church has expanded that to 8 Sundays, essentially, 50 days, 7 weeks, however you want to do all the math. And the reality is there's a lot of Easter to be had.
And I think one thing that's important for us to remember is that to look at feasting and fasting as two parts of an integrated whole. Right?
Because, yes, both sides of one coin.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, because it's easy for us to see the spiritual value of fasting and the spiritual importance of fasting. And we know that fasting can be very hard and stuff like that. But feasting also requires intentionality and can be something that can bring great grace to a person's life and great spiritual flourishing. And you really need both. You need to have that season of fasting so that you can fully embrace the season of feasting. Now, the season of feasting, when we're feasting, it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's not all about us indulging.
Eat, drink, and be merry, for right. Tomorrow we may die, right?
Right,
it's
right.
Not about that. Yeah.
It's about receiving. I mean, so in terms of how it's two parts of an integrated whole, with fasting, we are dying to ourselves and checking our appetites so that we can be prepared to let go of the things that we don't have and want, et cetera, and to instead we can receive the good things that God has blessed us with in union with Him. And so in a way that fasting is a preparation for that feasting, where a rightly ordered feasting is you're in receive mode. You're being intentional about receiving in communion with the Lord. You're in a spirit of gratitude, thanking Him, acknowledging that it comes from Him. You're in a place of communion. You're bringing others to the table with you,
right?
You know, and sharing in bonds of love with one another. And you know, it may not be some super expensive, fancy meal. Maybe you can't afford it. I mean, feasting is going to be different for different people based on their dietary needs, based upon their budgetary needs. But it's to say, in this season of feasting, I'm going to look for opportunities, and especially with those that I love, if you're living in a family life, you know.
Right.
I'm going to look for ways to bring the family together, to have a time of celebration in union with one another, in union with the Lord, thanking the Lord for all of His many blessings.
It's really essentially keying in on celebrating.
Yes.
Right? And we should also mention, as you were saying that, I recognize what you're saying about it's different for different folks in different situations. But feasting doesn't always mean food, right? We typically understand that a veritable feast, right? But we can see things that, and from the perspective of, you know, a feast for the heart, a feast for the eyes, a feast for, you know, just the experience of celebrating, of being with people and using the season of Easter as a time to celebrate and to be positive and to have hope, right? Because a lot of times we spend all the other weeks of the year without hope.
That's a great point, and it could be something completely that you wouldn't even normally associate with feasting. You could say, hey, you know what? My family and I, we've never gone on a pilgrimage together. I'm going to look on the internet and see what's available. Oh, Our Lady of Good Help in Wisconsin is a church-approved apparition in the United States. during these 8 weeks, we're going to find a time, we're going to make a road trip to Wisconsin, and we're going to go visit this shrine of Our Lady.
Yeah.
That's a way of feasting because you're prioritizing your time and your resources, and you're bringing the family together. And yeah, it's just one weekend within the stretch of weeks, but that's a way of living out Easter and living out the feast, because there's a lot that goes into making a trip like that possible. But it's ultimately, you're there to honor God and to grow in your devotion to Our Lady. And so there's a lot of different ways you can live out Easter and live out feasting.
That's right. And then also, in another way, if you think about it in terms of the natural law and the seasons, when Easter hits, is typically the time that there's like a lot of growth outside.
Yeah.
You know, the flowers are going to be in bloom, and it's an opportunity for you to relish in God's beauty. And so you can become more prayerful. You can be outside working in the garden, you know, during this Easter season, and just thank God for the gift of life, of the gift of growth, and let that garden work be prayerful. And it's just a way to turn and recognize, well, I like to get out there and get the weeds, you know? Well, if you stop and think about it, we have the weeds of our sin that we've just have been working and focusing on in self-denial, in self-discipline through Lent. And now we can pluck those weeds. We still have to be conscious of our sin and the vestiges of sin, but we understand sin from a different perspective, I think, during the season of Easter, because we realize that all of the wages of sin, which are death, you know, essentially has been conquered by Jesus.
Absolutely. And I think you've hit on a couple of super important points. And first thing,
it's my job.
It's your job. Yes. But first thing is prayer. We prioritizing prayer during Easter is still very important. And, you know, if we're going to celebrate Easter, setting aside time, I think especially for things like silent meditation, for adoration, being in his presence, you know, like there's that story in the gospel where Jesus, they criticized our Lord and his apostles because they were not fasting at a time that the Pharisees thought fasting was needed. And he said, they're going to have time to fast, but when the bridegroom is with you, you feast. You know, so Easter is a time, this is the day the Lord has made. This is a time when the bridegroom is with us, but we have to, you know, we have to receive that. So first step is prayer. We do have to think about how we integrate prayer more into our everyday life, to have him present, to grow in that personal relationship, but then also, just like you said, to really let him in and let the spirit of victory of Christ's resurrection, you know, let the Holy Spirit conquer within us the sin and death within us.
Right, give it to him.
Give it to him.
Well, yeah. We talked before, and you had brought up this image of like having an apartment and having like a closet or whatever filled with the with the junk and the bad stuff, and keeping that closed, but really just opening up every room in our house to him, and now we can do it confidently.
Yes,
knowing that we are nothing without him.
Right,
that we're broken. And that we depend upon him, we rely upon him, and now we can kind of joyfully go like, I get it, you overcame, you know, sin and death for me, and so here you can have all this.
Well, and it's an important thing. Like, we've had previous shows where we've talked about the relationship between sin and death, and why Christ, you know, in conquering sin conquered death, and why in conquering death he conquered sin. But one of the things to really keep in mind is, and this is something to reflect on during Easter, a lot of times it's our fear of death that actually causes us to sin. Like, when I say our fear of death, I don't mean just like a fear of a biological reality. You can look at Wisdom 2 and reflect upon the scripture Wisdom 2, but it describes sort of the interior life of the unjust man, where it basically says, you know, we have this core primordial fear that this is all there is. And that one day we're going to die, and that's the end of all existence for us. And eventually our name will be forgotten, and that's it. And that's just this fear of ultimate meaninglessness and personal annihilation. Like the Bible says, like, there's a core fear of that within the human person. And so from that place of that core fear, we grab for the things of the earth, and we say, this is our provision. This is our lot. Like, I'm going to get mine while the getting's good. And that's why we end up being so selfish and hurting one another, and so looking at the Easter season, Christ in conquering death, let's let him conquer our fear of death. Let's take a look at places where we still have habitual sin that we need to work on, vices that we need to work on, and fears that we need to work on, and say, am I willing to let our Lord conquer that within me? Am I willing to let him conquer that fear? You know, Pope John Paul II said, we're an Easter people. Alleluia is our song.
Yeah.
You know, and so really living that out during the course of Easter, there is still time for personal inventory as well. But, and it's always important for us to do personal inventory and seek personal growth. But within the context of Easter, I think that we can do it with greater hope and greater intimacy with the Lord. And there could be great fruitfulness that comes from that.
Yeah. Now, what we're talking about here is living this season of Easter and realizing just why the church is so generous in giving us this season that's longer than Lent.
Right.
Right? That we celebrate. And I love this idea, what you're talking about, that in terms of like what, you know, our St. John Paul II said, we're an Easter people and Alleluia is our song. We have to, like, I mean, you can just say that by definition.
Right.
We're an Easter people, Alleluia is our song.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, just saying that doesn't necessarily make it
right
a reality for people, that you've literally got to choose that.
Yeah.
Right, so you actually have to say, like, you know what, I'm going to accept that,
mm-hmm.
because the Lord is not going to invade your heart.
Right,
he's not going to take your heart. You have to give him your heart.
Right,
right. He's given it to you, and for you to tend, and he always respects you and your personal autonomy, essentially, mm-hmm. to decide yes or no. I mean, that's the free will choice of love.
Mm-hmm.
You have to freely choose him. He's not going to just, like, put himself on you and you have no choice but to love him.
Right.
And that wouldn't be love.
Right.
If you don't have the opportunity to choose something else. And you have to choose of your own free will. Right? And we talk about that when we talk about marriage and how that works and what all that looks like. And the thing is, in this season especially, so for these 8 Sundays, for these 50 days where we choose to have hope. And I know that some people can get a little down about a lot of things in the world that we live in, but this is really a time where we need to say, like, you know what? All the differences, all the things that, going back to the eclipse, all the things that separate us, let's all just focus on the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have to admit, there's a part of me that kind of wanted there to be some kind of spaceship that came out on the other side of the moon or something.
Yeah.
You know, I really wanted the Lord to come that day. You know, I wanted to have my 100% beeswax candle there. And mm-hmm. See, I'm ready, Lord, I'm ready. And the thing is, I really also think that this eclipse was an opportunity for all of us to sort of, like, to unite in a way.
Yeah.
And to realize our brotherhood. I mean, I made friends that I didn't have before when I popped my little 10x10 canopy up and for like 2.5 hours or 3 hours in a little park in Walnut Ridge, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Right? It's funny. I had my granddaughter with me, Charlotte. Hey, Charlotte. So I had Charlotte with me. She was there. And then we're sitting there. We're all set up with our little chairs just waiting about 2 hours. And she looks over, and I don't remember the girl's name, and just shouts this girl's name at the top of her lungs. We'll just say it's Ruby. Ruby! Ruby! I'm like, going, what are you doing? Charlotte, calm down. Ruby. And it was a friend from school.
Oh, wow.
From Memphis that had come to the same park and was literally just a few feet away.
That's awesome.
And it's like, and you stop and think about it. It's a small world.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're all looking at the same thing, and we're all united. And again, these are choices that we make. We can look at all the division in the world, or we can choose to unite with other people in the world in a common mission and a common goal. And what I loved about the concept of the eclipse and Easter was that we were all focused on the sun, you know, and then also being, like, you know, come across and there's the moon in front. And so these two celestial bodies perfectly aligned.
Yeah.
And you sit there and think about, like, the spiritual celestial nature of things. Mm-hmm. And you think about, like, why Mary, you know, in all the classical images, has the moon under her feet, mm-hmm. right? Where does the moon get its light? From the sun.
Right.
So Mary gets her light from her sun. So she's not an entity that we worship. We don't worship Mary, right? We don't. Right. So theologically and all of this, we start to realize that the way nature works. So we're all fixated on the Son of God and his mother just for these few minutes. Now, I know a lot of people weren't thinking that way.
Right.
And the guys driving the space cloud car were not thinking that way. but whether they thought that way or not, that's what they were doing. Mm. And to me, it's like this is just one of the ways in which God speaks to our hearts in a way that if we give ourselves over to that, in other words, if we choose hope, if we choose to live the hope of the resurrection, it changes our own lives for the better, but also it's viral. It changes everybody around me. It changes my environment. People start to go like, why is he so happy? I want that happiness. You know, he's ugly and he's poor. Why is he happy? It's like, well, Deacon Jeff is happy because, right? He believes in Jesus Christ, who has overcome death for our sake, gave himself up, suffered, died, was buried, and then rose again.
Right.
And ascended into heaven victoriously. And it's like, okay, that's why he's happy. Well, I want some of that.
And, you know, there could be people in Radio Land who are dealing with some really tough stuff right now. I mean, suffering is a part of life. Could be that during the course of this Easter season, any one of us could deal with some catastrophically bad sufferings and issues. But the hope here is that if we're living out our Easter, that we're going to be a little bit more predisposed to receive those sufferings, including the catastrophic ones, by God's grace, to recognize the good, you know, to grow in our capacity to trust in the goodness of God's permissive will, and to have hope that every cross is followed by a resurrection. That yes, the sufferings that come our way, they are real and they are a cross, but as we share in the cross, we are also going to be able to share in that resurrection. And it's not always obvious what that resurrection is going to look like. But this is a time during Easter where we can pray for the faith to grow in that trust that resurrection will come. And by that, we can really come to also rest in him. Because I think rest is also an important part of Easter.
Relax.
Yes.
Lay back. Enjoy.
Yes.
Right? It doesn't mean cast all your worries aside. It doesn't mean having no responsibilities for 50 days. It doesn't mean that.
Right.
But it does mean that, you know, you deserve a break today, right?
Well, every Sunday is a mini Easter, and so basically every day during the Easter season, in a way, can be a mini Easter.
Yeah.
And so to that effect, a day of rest, taking time to rest, and giving more time to quality time with the Lord in prayer and in love and in union with him, it'll help us to grow and love for ourselves, authentic love for ourselves and one another, and communion with one another, and receiving the good things that God has blessed us with, and more fuller union with him and with gratitude and with hope. And that's ultimately what Easter's about.
You know, when I've done reflections a couple times as part of presentations or retreats on the mysteries of the Rosary, when you talk about the resurrection, you can talk about the resurrection, and you can talk about, like, well, you know, Jesus rose from the dead. That's incredibly cool. And he's like, so it's like, of course he can. He's God. He can do that. And the thing is, what's important about it is when we're praying that that mystery of the resurrection, it's not so much that Jesus resurrected from the dead that we're like basically standing there applauding. Yay, Jesus, you did it. I knew you could do it. You know, it's not that. It's like you want to have faith in that. You want to have faith in what Jesus did. And in Easter season, we realize that more profoundly. And that this mystery of the resurrection is something that you can put stock in that and go like, I'm going to believe in the God who can resurrect from the dead, mm-hmm. right? Because when I need something that seems like it's killing me, something that's really weighing me down, then I want to believe in that. I want to believe in that resurrection. I want to believe in what Jesus did. Because if Jesus can, if he can resurrect from the dead, he can do anything in my life, right? And that's the thing that we need to focus on. So that's what we need to have 50 days of that.
Yeah.
50 days of resurrection. And that is an incredible opportunity for all of us. And even though as we get closer to the end of the season, as we get closer to Pentecost, you're going to see, like, you're going to watch those Easter flowers start to dwindle. Right? The Easter lilies, we're all taking bets on, like, well, I don't know if that one's going to make it another week. You know,
yeah.
They're starting to get a little brown around the edges. You get a little close up there. And I mean, the church ladies are up there watering every, you know, they're spending some time up there trying to prune all the stuff and make it look as nice. And it may just be down to one Boston fern at the end. Right? Just one fern left. And that's really all we got left up there on the altar after eight Sundays of Easter. But the thing is, we always have, those are just a sign of spring. They're going to die. Those flowers are going to die. But Jesus didn't stay dead. And that's why, and so in our death, to be resurrected, to have hope in the resurrection of Easter, to be drawn into the season, to allow this season to overcome us in a way that this becomes the focus of who we are. You know, that we are a resurrection people, and that Alleluia is our song, that we live that purposefully, right? Don't allow ourselves to fall into the trap, because trust me, the devil's going to be looking at ways to trip you up. He hates this season.
Yeah.
I wonder if the devil went on vacation, if he'd go on vacation during Easter season. It's like, it's no good. It's nothing I can do. You know, I'll get him later. But I still think the devil's going to be active in trying to pluck people, you know, from the Lord and out of that vineyard, and essentially just to ruin things, right? To try to ruin things, but he can't, because we're a resurrection people, and Alleluia is our song, and Jesus is here for us, and he rose from the dead. Let's believe that. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God.
Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.